Thank you, Andre, and thank you, Simon, and the worship team for leading us this morning. Good morning, church. It's good to be sharing with you this morning. And as Simon has set the scene about this passage of Scripture, the actual passage on the Bible markers, I trust you all receive one of these as you came into church. There are more at the back if you haven't, so please take one of those as a reminder of this scripture this morning. Quite an exciting scripture. Ezekiel was a 25-year-old priest when he, along with the king and approximately 10,000 Jews were taken to Babylon in 598 BC. 5 years later, in 593 BC, Ezekiel was called into the ministry. Ezekiel's name means strengthened by God. I love that. Each one of us here this morning, we need regularly, daily, to be strengthened by God, to be equipped. Ezekiel, strengthened by God. And there can be very little doubt that the visions that Ezekiel were given during that 20-year plus of faithful ministry were used to challenge and strengthen his fellow exiles. We know that the ministry of Ezekiel was marked by a series of visions. And this one that Andre read earlier is probably one of the most popular and well-known of those visions. The vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Often it is preached regarding the need for revival in the church. Yet we need to remember that God is not speaking to the church in these verses. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. And he sees them as a dead nation. And he promises this dead nation that one day they will be raised and he can use them again for his glory. And when Ezekiel received this vision, he found himself surrounded by the bones of the dead. Everywhere he looked, he saw this deadness. And he was commanded to preach to them. And he was commanded to pray over them. And when he obeyed the Lord's commands, Ezekiel saw things happen that was hard for him to understand. And like Ezekiel, in these days, we are surrounded by the dead. Everywhere we look, there is that evidence of spiritual death. Spiritual death dominates the world in which we live today. But like Ezekiel, we have been sent out to the dead so that they may live. And from where Ezekiel stood that day, his task must have seemed impossible. And yet he obeyed God, he succumbed, and the Lord blessed his efforts. And from where we stand today, and Simon, in his prayer, prayed about the condition of the world, and where we look at the world today, the hopelessness, the distress, and it seems to us that the task is also impossible. But the Lord blessed Ezekiel's efforts, The Lord is faithful, and the Lord, I'm sure, will bless our efforts too. And there are three things that I would like us to bring out this morning over this scripture. And the first one is that there was a shocking revelation. If we are going to sense the great need of those around us to hear the gospel, then we must have a very clear grasp of the condition of the world and the condition of Guernsey. The vision Ezekiel saw was a valley full of dry, scattered bones, and it depicted the devastation of Israel. Until we have a similar vision, an understanding of what is going on in the world, then we will not be stirred into action. We need to see what Ezekiel saw when he looked over that valley of dry bones. It is the same vision we need today as we look over Guernsey. Firstly, he saw death. Bones speak of death. And since so many bones were in one place, it may be that Ezekiel saw the aftermath of a great battle. If that was the case, it must have broken his heart. It was one of the worst insults a Jew could suffer, was to be denied a proper burial. But here in that valley, filled with those bones of the dead, defeated by the enemies and just left to rot where they fell. And Ezekiel saw that vision of death on quite a large scale. What do we see when we look at the world around us? What do we see when we look at Guernsey today? Although people around us may be living their lives and going to work and raising their families, they may be charming, but if they do not know Jesus in a personal way, they are spiritually dead. And Paul tells us that until the Holy Spirit quickens men and women to spiritual life, as he says in Ephesians 2 and 1, they are dead in trespasses and sin. This can be true of your husband, your wife, family members, your friends and work colleagues. While they may be full of physical life, they can be spiritually dead. And we should pray and ask God to open our eyes to help us see the world around it as it really is. And that was what Jesus said to his disciples in John 4:35. Do not say, words of Jesus, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white for harvest. We need to see the world as it truly is. And then Ezekiel saw, secondly, devastation. The bones that Ezekiel saw, the scripture says, were very dry. They'd been on that valley floor under the heat of the sun, and they were sapped of all moisture. And in that dead, dry condition, they were fit for nothing but to be gathered and buried. Absolutely useless. And we need to recognize, friends, that that is the very condition of the lost who live around us. Paul in Romans 3 and 12 says, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. The word unprofitable here means to be useless. And this verse reminds us that the lost sinner is useless to God. They are unprofitable in the sense that God cannot use them for his glory. And we should ask the Lord to open our eyes and help us to see the devastation in the world around us. The lost are trapped in a quagmire of sin, and they cannot escape. Three examples in Guernsey recently. Look at the man convicted of sexual assault. That individual needs someone to tell him there is a way out, an alternative. Look at the five young people in prison for importing Class A drugs into Guernsey. They need to tell someone there is a better way, there is an alternative. Look at the two people arrested at the West Show the other week in a series of fights. They need someone to tell them they can live peaceful lives with purpose and meaning. Friends, until we understand where such people are, we will not be moved to reach them with the gospel. And thirdly, Ezekiel, in this shocking revelation, saw defeat. He says in verse 11, "Our bones are dried and our hope is lost." The nation of Israel was defeated. It reached a place where it saw no way out of that captivity, no hope for the future. The Bible describes the lost around us as having no hope without God in the world. In Ephesians 2 and 12, the hopelessness in the world is easy to see. The restlessness of our nations, the upheavals in our culture, the flimsy condition of the economy, the constant threat of war, all speak to the fact that people feel hopeless and are in despair. When there's peace in the heart, there is hope in life. When peace is missing, hopelessness reigns. In the 1700s, there was a little man who was a cobbler by trade, who kept a map of the world on his wall in his workshop so that he could pray for the nations of the world. And he became burdened for missionary outreach. And when he shared this burden with a meeting of ministers, he was told by one of the senior men of God, "Young man, sit down. When God wants to convert the heathen, he will do it without your help or mine." But William Carey did not let that cold response dampen his enthusiasm. And he eventually left England for India, where he engaged in pioneering missionary work, doing great exploits for God. A shocking revelation. Secondly, Ezekiel saw a solemn and received a solemn responsibility. And as he looked out over that dry valley, that bones just scattered everywhere, God spoke to the prophet and told him what to do. And you know, the same responsibility, friends, is on us as a church today. He was commanded to preach, to prophesy. Verse 4, again he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And Ezekiel was commanded to preach to a valley of skeletons. Nothing could be more foolish or ridiculous than to preach to a bunch of dry bones. And when God in verse 3 asked the question, Son of Man, can these bones live? And the answer, O Lord God, you know. God is sovereign. Friends, God is sovereign today. Whatever we think of the world, we must believe and trust that God is in control. The sovereignty of God is something which the human mind, and I struggle with it so much, and yet by faith I need to believe it, because God is a sovereign God. You can almost hear the hesitation on the part of the prophet here as he was considered this futile assignment. There can be little doubt that Ezekiel was overwhelmed by the sight that was before him, because he saw defeat, he saw death. And anyone who sees the condition of a lost world can understand Ezekiel's response. For humanly, how can we bring comfort to a lifeless and hopeless generation? Yet this is the clear obligation of the church in the days in which we live. You know, God has not promised to bless our theological systems or our personal interpretations or theories, but God has committed himself to bless the preaching of his word. It says in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Only through such preaching will there be a noise, a shaking, bones coming together, bone to bone. It is only the word of God that can produce such miracles. In Hebrews 4 and 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Friends, this book is a living letter. What does the lost, what do they need to hear? Well, they don't need to hear about our church or our preachers or our opinions. They need to hear the gospel of grace. They need to hear the truth that Jesus cried on the cross of Calvary to redeem and buy back sinful men and women like ourselves. They need to hear that Jesus rose from the dead to save all who will come to him. They need to hear there is hope. They need to hear there is life and salvation in Jesus Christ. And secondly, he was commanded to pray, breathe upon these slain that they may live. With the preaching, there was a noise, a shaking, a coming together, a bone to bone. And even the appearance of sinews and skin. But the word says there was no breath in them. Ezekiel had preached, prophesied the word of God to these bones. They had the appearance of life, but they were still dead. They needed the touch of God before they could live. And he was commanded to pray that the Lord would breathe on them and make them live. It is our obligation to see that we not only preach with urgency, but we pray with fervency. We must be satisfied with nothing less than the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The world of lifeless and hopeless men and women will never be changed unless the Holy Spirit breathes upon the preaching as well as upon the people themselves. We must pray with fervency that God will honour his word, breathe on the lost, and draw many to himself in these days. Friends, it is our responsibility to tell them, and it is our responsibility to pray for the people around us. May God give us eyes to see the condition of the lost. May he give us ears to hear their stories and give us a heart to feel their pain. We need to pray that God would breathe upon us as the church of Jesus Christ in these days, as we would be the servants of that high calling of the Master in the days in which we live. So there was a shocking revelation, a solemn responsibility, and thirdly, a supernatural resurrection. And in response to the preaching and the praying of Ezekiel, the Lord moves in power. Amazing things take place when God brings dead bones to life. In verse 10, they were activated. We read that they lived. Those corpses were vitalized, brought back to life. And as the astonished prophet watched, a valley filled with the dead came to life. And friends, that same experience can happen in the days in which we live, when we share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And our Lord assures us, as we read in John 6 and 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The words of Christ bring life. The new birth is a supernatural event. It is a time when God raises those who were and are spiritually dead to new life in Jesus Christ. Also, we see here in verse 10 that they were animated. They stood up on their feet. God brought them to life, and he caused them to stand before him. And whilst we should have a burden to see dead men and women quickened to life, we should also have that desire that they be strengthened to stand for Christ and his church. God saves people to serve him. Speaking to his disciples, the Lord Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." There are no unwanted people in the church of Jesus Christ. There is a place for witness and work for each one of us. But we must see that we are led by the Spirit of God. Also, we see here that they were associated in verse 10. They were transformed into an exceedingly great army. One moment, they were dead bones on the valley. The next, a mighty living army ready for the Lord's use. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us as individuals, as a body of Christ. And there's something beautiful about a body of Christ moving together, praying together, worshiping together, witnessing together. We can do little things individually, but when we come as a body, there is so much more that we can do. And God wants us to be that body, one spirit, baptized into one body. May the Lord help us to see that we are not isolated individuals, but working together as the body of Christ. And then we see in verse 14 that they were assured, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Yes, a promise to the nation of Israel that they will be restored to their land and that they will receive God's blessings again. And then God says, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. God wanted Israel to know that he was about to do a sovereign work. He was going to do something huge for them and through them. All they had to do was to believe and to go with him. And friends, the same is for us in the church today. I believe the days of God's blessings are not over. The times of refreshings have not passed. God is the same God as he was down through the generations. He is still able to work in supernatural, sovereign ways to accomplish his will in the world. God will still honor his word, and he will still bless those who go about his work. So in conclusion, as our musicians and singers come back, when we look at the world, what do we see? When we look at Guernsey, what do we see? We see people who have no regard for God's ways and God's laws. We see hostility. We see selfishness. We see people upsetting one another. And if I'm honest, these things frustrate me. But then I remember, if it was not for the grace of God, that could be me. When I was 16, I confessed my wrongdoing before God, and God forgave me. The Lord reached out to me in his grace and in his mercy, and he saved my soul. This morning, I have the assurance of a place in heaven. The least I can do is ask the Lord to give me the same compassion toward others that he has shown to me. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. The mission that has been given to the church seems impossible, but we can fulfill our commission if we only look to the Lord for the help and the strength and the encouragement that is needed in these days. You need to remember that the name of Ezekiel means to be strengthened by God. Friends, if you want a fresh strengthening this morning, I invite you to stand with me as we pray together before we sing our closing song. Can we stand, please? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you do not change. You see everything about us. And as we look at Guernsey and as we look at our communities, we see a spiritual dryness. And we ask for your spirit to come upon us now, in these moments. Father, fall afresh by your spirit upon this assembly this morning, that we would be receptive to the things of yourself. Breathe on us, and we pray that you would fill us anew this morning as we stand before you, that we would be strengthened. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're a loving heavenly Father who loves us to the uttermost. And Father, cause us to just have that fresh zeal for you this morning, to be a fresh witness and an ambassador, a servant of the Most High God. Just encourage us this morning as we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.